difficulty. That's your voice?
Thank God. Much better. Thank God. Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
You're recording.
Yes, this week, hopefully it will be fine. Let's hope there's no issues, but Bruce is backing us up.
Stand or not to stand? For your short lesson.
Good morning, everyone. Go right ahead. Last week, if you recall, we spoke about how there could be a reality in life versus a halachic reality. How something could be hot, burning, and yet you could put something in it on Shabbos and it's not doesn't constitute cooking. You could look at someone that was born out of wedlock, and yet halachically they're not a mamzer. Today, I want to shift gears exactly to the other side of that coin. And to show how there's a halachic reality that many people were worried about for ages, and end the shir, hopefully, by saying that today this whole shir has nothing to do with reality. It was a nice topic, lahagdil Torah ulahadira. Everyone will get their, what do you call it in Boy Scouts when you get your points? Your brownie points for learning Torah. But even though this was a real halachic issue for generations, today it's not. Simply because the reality changed. And let's see what I'm talking about, a very small issue. To stand or not to stand. This week's... What?
There were a lot of things like leaving water uncovered.
Again, you're mixing up two different things. Leaving water uncovered was because of sakana.
Yeah, but it used to be.
Okay, that's simple. That's simple in terms of, is there a sakana or not? We're talking about something that halachically, okay, judicially was an issue. And I believe today it's not. And we'll see what we're talking about. Sure. Very simple issue. This week we're going to read Parshat Yitro. We're going to talk about the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are an issue. What's an issue with the Ten Commandments? And I'll explain what the issue is. The Mishnah in Talmud says that the Ten Commandments has a special place in the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishnah in Talmud talks about what happened in the Beis HaMikdash every single day. And it says as follows, beginning of Perikei, Amar Lahem HaMemuneh. The person in charge of telling people what to do, the handler, namely a Bruce that tells you when to come to the kollel and when to get out, when to give a shir, when you're not needed, when you're useless, when you're very useful. That person said, Barchu bracha achat, say a bracha. Vehem birchu, and they said a barcha. That we call barchu. Karu aseret hadvarim, shma vahayim shamoa, vayomer, v'yichur ta'am shalosh brachot emet v'yatzev, v'avodar v'yakat kohanim. So we could see what chakras look like in the Beis HaMikdash. This is not the topic for today, but according to this source, part of the chakra service from Baruch Hu through Birkas Kohanim was what addition? Seems like everything here is in our Siddur except for what? Aseret HaDvarim, known as Aseret HaDibros. So Aseret HaDibros was part and parcel of the Avoda of the Beis HaMikdash every day. So it has a special place in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, does it have a special place in our minds? Of course it does. Why does it have a special place in our minds?
The Big Ten.
It's the Big Ten. Why is it the Big Ten?
All the mitzvot are in it.
Have it on the... It was in the movie.
All the mitzvot are in it.
It was in the movie, first of all. I like the way you started, but first of all, it was in the movie. Now we'll go further.
It was on top of the Aaron. They show
all the mitzvot are in it.
Tablets. And it, I mean, it's a very common...
All the mitzvot are included.
So guess what? All your answers, the Big Ten, it's on the movie, it's on the Aron. You can decide what's more important, if it's in the movie or on the Aron. The bottom line is, it's pretty important. Says the Gemara in Brachos. Daf Yud Bet. Vekorina Seret HaDibros, it quotes our Mishnah, what they used to do in the Beis HaMikdash. So, if they used to do it in the Beis HaMikdash, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Apik Rulin Bikshula Krot Kain. It's not just in the Beis HaMikdash, but outside the Beis HaMikdash, in every shul, or those that daven by the Kotel. There's two Kotels, as you know. There's the Kotel, the western wall, and there's the Kotel. That's the wall in the house you daven by when you miss Minyan. Oh. Two Kotels. Anywhere you daven, they wanted you to say Aseret HaDibrot every day, mimicking what they used to do in the Beis HaMikdash. If it's a good thing for the Beis HaMikdash, Mitch, it should be a good thing for us. Says Rashi, Likfo Aseret HaDibrot Bekriyat Shema. So everyone knows Kriyat Shema means Shema, Vahayayim Shamoa, and Vayomer. We wanted to make it four things. Shema, Vahayayim Shamoa, Vayomer, preceded by Aseret HaDibrot. Another 2 minutes. What does the Gemara say? Ela Shekvar Bitlum. I don't know who the shekvar mean, but what is that? Past tense? Present tense? Someone already eradicated the idea, meaning in the study hall of Maseches Brachos, they're talking about it. They say, why not do it? They said, no, it was already eradicated. Why? Mipenei tar'omet haminim. What does that mean? I have no idea. So what do you do when you learn Gemara and you have no idea what tar'omet haminim is?
Look at Rashi.
You look at Rashi. See, Rashi has two functions in the Gemara. One, as I put in Rashi print, is just to, you know, read along with Rashi. Rashi will give you the two words missing. The other part is Rashi is not just a mifaresh, not just a guy who goes ahead and helps you read the Gemara like an English translation. He's also an interpreter. He gives his interpretation. Interpretation of Rashi, mipnei ta'arodim haminim, shelo yamru la'amei ha'aretz, ein shar Torah emet, ve'tidu she'en kor'in, elama shamar kodesh baruch hu v'shamu v'mipiv b'sinai. So apparently, because this is the Big Ten in the movie or on the Ark, there were a bunch of people in the Jewish people saying, these are the only things that are important. And the rest are not. Why? Two arguments. Argument number one, in Shar Torah Emet, the rest is not truthful. How do we know God gave the whole Torah to the Jewish people? Maybe He gave the Ten Dibrot to the Jewish people, and all the rest was made up by Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron HaKohen, Miriam HaNeviah, many different people made up good stories. Argument number two, Mashikah Kadosh Baruch Hu Shamu Mipiv Sinai. Not only is the rest of the Torah made up, we, Jewish people, only heard the Aseret HaDibrot from God at Sinai. That's what we heard. We were standing by the mountain. That's it. So in order to eradicate that false presentation, namely that the Torah was made up by human beings, and to get to the truth that the Torah was all given by God to Moshe, either directly to the Jewish people or via Moshe, we don't read Aseret HaDibrot to even give credence for someone to get up and say, hey, those are different. That's ta'aromet haminin. So ta'aromet haminin means, minin usually means people that are apostates and right of apostates, people that would say the rest of the Torah is made up, only the Aseret HaDibrot are the Big Ten, and they're the only ones that are real Torah. Yes, Bruce.
I thought that the real reason it's an important, these 10 or 14, whatever they are, is that they actually encapsulate all the rest of the
time. That's what I said. And that's what
we'll get to it. We'll get to it. Bruce, you are suffering from an Israeli sickness. Its core is not being patient. We will get to it, Bruce. My promise. You're right.
You said the movie.
But see, Bruce, when you learn Torah, you have to first come to it, as the Gemara says, like a wilderness. Nothing. Let's first see what the sources say. Then bring in all the preconceptions that you have from learning from years and years.
I mean, would that be true?
One second. One second. Not only did the Bavli say it, but the Yerushalmi mimics it. The Yerushalmi says that Rav Matan and Rav Shmuel bar Nachman Tavai Ramri, both Rav Matan and Rav Shmuel bar Nachman said, Bedin hayu shehu korin aseret ha-dibrot b'chol yom. We should have said aseret ha-dibrot every day. Why? Because they did it in the Beis HaMikdash. Don't we do many things that they used to do in the Beis HaMikdash? Except for Makriv Korbanot, we do everything that they used to do in the Beis HaMikdash almost. We try. And since they did it there, it's a good idea. Why don't we read it? Mipnei ta'anot haminin. Instead of ta'aromet in the Yerushalmi, it's ta'anot haminim, the argument of the people that are saying false comments. And what are they saying? Shelo yu amrim, elu levanan nitnu lo l'moshe misinai. So, we don't say aseret ha-dibrot every day. What's the reason?
We don't want to look like that's all that God gave us.
Correct. Now.
Yeah, but since when are we worried what other people are going to say, how we...
So now Harold is asking an excellent question. Due respect. How come, if after davening, you say one of the shesh schirot, the six things you're supposed to remember every day, no one got up and say, don't say it, because people might say that's the only thing you have to remember and all the rest is not. So if someone says, Zachor, remember what Hashem did to Miriam when she spoke Lashon Hara against Moshe Rabbeinu. You remember that parsha, end of Baha Alotcha? So if you say that every day, no one's getting up and saying, hey, you may say that's important, this is not important. No one says that. Why is it that if someone decides that before davening he's going to say the Akedah? What's the Akedah? The binding of Isaac. I love practicing my English. The binding of Isaac on the altar. He was only bounded, he wasn't sacrificed. So in many Sidurim, at right after Birkot HaShachar, it says the binding of Isaac. Many people say it. How come no one ever got up and said, why are we worried that people will say only the binding of Isaac is important? After all, we read it on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. But the rest is not important. How come like the Aseret HaDibrot was the only one picked out and we're so worried that this is it? If you say this, maybe people are going to say the rest of the Torah is mere, not important, not said by God, made up by human beings, a bunch of fairy tales. How come only Aseret HaDibrot was picked out?
Because it's the Christian influence, maybe.
Christian influence.
Then
Harold will say, since when are we worried about what the Christians will say? Yeah.
But these six things are said quietly.
Because it's the biggest, biggest religion.
Pardon? You're already giving answers. See. Now Bruce is doing apologetics for us. Okay, as after davening, it's quiet. We don't say it. We do say it, but we're really not saying. No apologize. Why is Aseret HaDibrot picked out of all the Torah? The answer is because Aseret HaDibrot, there's an assumption about it that doesn't exist regarding other psukim in the Torah. It must be that Aseret HaDibrot has something in it, some sort of secret character that only Aseret HaDibrot has and others don't. What do you think it is?
One of the commandments.
Commandments? The only commandments in Aseret HaDibrot? I'm sorry. Doesn't the Torah say, and you shall not cook a calf in its mother's milk? That's not a commandment.
No,
doesn't the Torah say, and you shall put tzitzis on your four-cornered garments? That's not a commandment. That can't be the answer. Bruce?
These ten are like sort of universally accepted.
What do you mean universally accepted? Well, the other parts are not accepted?
That's Christians.
The Christians accepted the Ten Commandments, and therefore, because the Christians accepted the Ten Commandments, we have to be worried about what the Christians accepted when we go to shul. According to what you're saying, we shouldn't celebrate Pesach. Because, the Christians accepted Easter. So we may think that Easter is Pesach. We should stop celebrating Pesach. You know they have Palm Sunday? Maybe we should stop taking a lulav because the Christians, they take Palm Sunday. That's the way halacha works. We're worried about Harold's question. Well, since when are we worried about the Christians?
not Christians. I think Jews themselves thought.
Oh, now we're getting back to the Jewish people. Now we're getting back to the right. Bruce is beginning to warm up. He drank his cup of coffee. He's in the Jewish world again. So going back to the Jewish world. Maybe the Jews would think that the Aseret HaDibrot is different from the rest of the Torah. Why? We already saw a hint of it. But let's see. Indeed, in Sefer Shmot, we have the Aseret HaDibrot. Next week's Parsha is Mishpatim. At the end of Mishpatim, the Torah fills in what happened at Har Sinai that we don't read about this week. And it says there, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Alei Alei Ahara Ve'yesham. Come up to the mountain and be there. As you know, he was there for 40 days and 40 nights. Ve'etnalecha, and I'll give you, what will God give Moshe? Souvenir, you're coming to heaven, you get a souvenir. You go to Italy, you get wine. Right? You go to Belgium, you get chocolate. What do you do when you go to Har Sinai? What's the souvenir that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to get? That Nalacha, God says, I'll give you a souvenir. What is it? Et luchot ha'even v'ha'torah v'ha'mitzvah asher katavti la'horotam. I will give you the tablets of stone. Not the tablet that you write on, Bruce. Not the tablet that Bennett's playing with now. No. The tablets of rock. What we call? I don't know. The Ten Commandments, those tablets, says Rashi on the Psukim of the Torah. Rashi, the interpreter, Kol sheshmot v'shloshesrei mitzvot bichlal aseret ha'dibrotein. Answer, why is Aseret HaDibrot different from all the rest of the Torah? Says Rashi, you can take all the 613 commandments and divide it up in different ways. You could say some of them are ben adam l'makom, ben adam l'chavero, between us and God versus ben us and our fellow man. You can divide it up into three parts, like the gra, ben adam l'chavero, ben adam l'makom, and ben adam l'atzma, to yourself. Says Rashi, I got a different way of dividing it up. All the 613 could be put into 10 categories, 10 headings, 10 titles. What are the titles? First title is Anochi Hashem Elokecha. The second title is Lo Yelecha. The third title is Lo Ta'aseh Lecha. The fourth title is Achor Yom HaShabbat LeKodesh Shai Continue. When I was in school, they had to know the Teretz HaTeretz HaBirdot by heart. And when you ask the Hisha, how come I have to know this by heart, but I don't have to know what happened to Adam Arishon by heart? How come I have to know this by heart, I don't have to know Parsha Tazria by heart? The answer was Rashi. All the 613 commandments could be subsumed under the Ten Commandments. So why are the Ten Commandments different from the rest of the Torah?
Well, it's a summation.
It's like a summary of the entire Torah. It's like the cliff notes of the entire Torah. And Rashi goes on and say, Rabbeinu Sa'adja. When Rashi is talking about Rabbeinu Sa'adja, Rashi died in 1096. Who's Rabbeinu Sa'adja? Probably someone before Rashi or living with Rashi. Rabbeinu Sa'adja Gaon. The Rasag. Have you ever heard of the Rasag? He was Rav Sa'adja Gaon. Rabbeinu Sa'adja, Piresh Ba'azarot, she said, L'chol Dibur V'Dibur Mitzvot Hatluyot Bo. Rav Sa'adja. Okay, you better take that. What is it? 1104, I stand corrected. Around 1096. By us, it's all around. But I stand corrected, 1106. So he went through the Crusades, Lo Aleinu. Says Rashi, the Rabbeinu Sa'adja Gaon has some sort of a document, some sort of a something, that he does this. He takes all the mitzvot of the Torah and he puts them under the Ten Commandments. Now today we know what he's talking about. Rabbeinu Sa'adja Gaon had a piyut that he said on Shavuos, in which he took all the Ten Commandments, and under the Ten Commandments he said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. He rattled out all the principles of the Torah that have to do with that. Zachor Yom HaShabbat L'Kodesho. He rattled out all the mitzvot of the Torah that have to do with that. Let's try to guess between us. What can be subsumed under Zachor Yom HaShabbat L'Kodesho? That commandment. Anytime Shabbos is in the Torah is in there, right? Yeah. Many times Shabbos is in the Torah. We'll put Yontif in there because Yontif Shabbos is very, very similar except for cooking and all that. Let's put that in there. What else?
Resting.
What happens when you don't keep Shabbos? Put that in there, right? So Rabbeinu Sa'adja Gaon did this with all the Ten Commandments. It was a piyut for Shavuos. Probably took about 5 minutes to say. Many, many years later, there was a wonderful, wonderful Jew living in the 20th century, a Talmid Chacham Atzum, called Rav Perla. And Rav Perla decided to take that small little piyut and he put it into a three-volume set. But he couldn't call it the piyut of Rasag for Shavuos, because no one's going to buy it. He called it the Sefer HaMitzvot LaRabbeinu Sa'adja Gaon, the Book of Mitzvot. Here's all the 613 commandments. Why? Because they're all in there. And he wrote, not cliff notes, but an actual interpretation on it. So from one little piyut that you said on Shavuos became a three-volume set. And today when you say to people, Rabbeinu Sa'adja Gaon's piyut, they have no idea what you're talking about. And you say, Rabbeinu Sa'adja Gaon's Sefer HaMitzvot, oh, they all know. The only truth is, he didn't write a Sefer HaMitzvot. It's right here in Rashi. Piresh Ba'azharot. It's a piyut. It's a little piyut. A nice poem. We say Chol Ma'aminim. We say Notan HaTokef. A little poem. As I get. A little poem. So why the Ten Commandments different from all the rest of the Torah? Because all the mitzvot are subsumed under it. It's not just Rashi making it up and Rabbeinu Sa'adja going ahead and writing a Sefer HaMitzvot. It's a Medrash. A Medrash, the Medrash Rabbah says, V'chen ata motzeh taryag otiyot. Listen to this beautiful Medrash. You find that in the Ten Commandments, if you're bored this Shabbos, then this is what you're going to do, Mitch. You're going to count the amount of letters in the Ten Commandments. You're going to get to 600 and... 13. Take a guess.
13.
Wow! Mitch is awake today. 613 otiot. And says the Medrash, Min anochi ad asher l'riecha keneged taryag mitzvot. Wow, isn't that a coincidence? Exactly 613 letters equals 613 mitzvot. What a coincidence. I love coincidences. Continues the Medrash. V'zayin yeterot. Wait a minute. As you know, every word in Hebrew, not every word, but most words, can be written either chaser or male. Namely, you can write my name, Yehoshua, with Yud-Heh Vav Shin Vav Ayin, or you can do Yud-Heh Vav Shin Ayin, without the Vav at the end. Right? So, you can write Chamishim. How many Yuds are in there? Two or one? So because in Aseret HaDibrot we have exactly seven Yeterot, seven words that could have been written without that extra Yud of Vav, but they're written with the Yud of Vav. So what are the seven extras? Says the Medrash, Keneged Zayin Yemei Bereshit. Exactly seven days of creation. To why? L'lamadcha, shekol olam lo nivra ela b'zchut haTorah. The whole Torah, the whole world has been created for the Torah. So you have 613 letters because there's 613 commandments? And Zayin Yeterot, because the whole 7 days of creation was for the Torah. Now, this is an ongoing theme from the Medrash all the way down to our generation, that the Ten Commandments have a special place because the whole Torah can be subsumed under it, or it has exactly the amount of letters as the mitzvot of the Torah. Comes along the Shelah, Shnei Luchot HaBrit. Now, why is that a coincidence of a coincidence? Because the Shelah, Rabbi Horvitz, wrote a book that he thought, like Rambam, would go ahead and take this whole library, say, put it in Geniza. I have a book now that has everything in it. All you need in your house, said the Rambam, is a Tanakh, and my 14 books called the Mishneh Torah. You don't need a Gemara, you don't need Rishonim. As you know, it wasn't accepted. The Shnei Luchot HaBrit, Rav Horvitz, many hundreds of years later, did the same thing. He said, these are the two tablets. These are the two tablets. Remember we talked about the two tablets? That's what he called the book, Shelah. Yeah. So the Shelah was called the Shelah HaKodesh. Many Jewish people have not gotten that name. He got that name. The Shelah says, Aseret HaBridut Kololim Kol HaTorah Kula. You can put the whole Torah into the Ten Commandments, divide it up, put it on a table. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Today in the computer, very simple. We make a chart, 10, put the headings on it, start putting all the mitzvot under it. Ube'eser dibro tariach otiyot keneged keter Torah. Ve'tariach otiyot becholot nirsham mitzvah achad mitariach ha-mitzvot, exactly like our medrash, but with one little change. Ve'zayin sheva ha-otiyot ha-yeterot, and the 7 full words, the extra yud, the extra vav, are not against the 7 yamei bereshit, but according to the Shla, what are they for? Why are you looking at me, Bruce? It's in the page. What is it, written on my face? Keneged sheva mitzvot derabbanan. Now, by the way, this is not the topic for today. We have many gezerot derabbanan when the rabbis told us not to do things. How many mitzvot derabbanan do we have, positive commandments from the rabbis? Ongoing tradition, only 7. You can probably count them out. There's 4 mitzvot on Purim. There's 1 mitzvah of lighting the Hanukkah candles, positive commandments. There's a mitzvah of washing your hands before you eat bread. Anything else? Perhaps. But that's already, again, a no. We're talking about things you have to do, not to do. Fasting is more not to do something, not to eat. Anyway, as you can see, the Shla says, the whole Torah is in there, including the mitzvot derabbanan. The Medrash says, the whole Torah is into the 613, and the whole world is in there. Zayin yamei bereshit. So why are the Ten Commandments different from all the rest? Because it has a special place in the consciousness of the Jewish people, because we could subsume the entire Torah into the Ten Commandments. Now you understand why is it that they were so worried about having the Ten Commandments every day in davening. Because any other part of the Torah, you'd say, all right, very nice to read Parsha Tazria, very nice to read about the Shechet HaMeraglim, even more beautiful to read about how Moshe hit the rock instead of talking to it. No problem, read it every day. But if you read this every day, what's going to happen? People will start saying, wait a minute, that's it, that's the whole Torah. We don't have to learn the rest. We don't have to even go to shul and read the parsha. We don't have to lay, we don't have to do a thing. This is all in there. Only Aseret HaDibrot has that character, has those properties, not the rest.
I might think it's the opposite. You know that these 10 are the categories of the entire Torah. One should say these 10 and then go study. Like
so Bruce is saying, afuch. If you said these 10 every day, you'd want to study more.
Yeah.
Could be. But as you can see, in the Gemara and Brachot, both Bavli and Yerushalmi, they were worried about the opposite. Mm-hmm. Because they were worried about the opposite, we get to our question. See, everything you heard until now was a commercial break in order for me to crack a few jokes before we get to the real McCoy. Now we're getting to the real McCoy. Everyone ready for the real McCoy? Do you stand when you hear the Aseret HaDibrot? So this Shabbos, will you stand in shul when you hear the Aseret HaDibrot?
They do it ours.
So now you understand why the question's a question. Because any other part of the Torah, if I stood up for Megillah, it says that in the Mishnah you can read the Megillah, Ben Omed Ben Yoshev. The minhag is that the Shliach Tzibur stands, but you could say it's standing or sitting. If I stand up for Megillah, it says no one's going to go for the oxygen mask. But if you stand for the Aseret HaDibrot, we got a problem. If you stand for Parshat Tazria, Parshat Mitzara, Shachach Prima, Kedoshim, no issue. You stand for all of Laning, also not an issue. But if you stand only for the Aseret HaDibrot,
looks like you're making that.
Well, let's see. The Rashba, Shuta Rashba. The Rashba was a great Rishon. He also wrote a responsum. Shaltemot, you asked. Malumar Aseret HaDibrot B'Shacha Bevet HaKnesset. Can you say Aseret HaDibrot during davening in the morning? We did it in the Beis HaMikdash, answers the Rashba. There's people that want to do it in our shul. They read the Mishnah and Talmud. They said, it's a nice idea, let's do it. What does the Rashba answer? Says Mr. Weiser. Absolutely forbidden. Whoa, that's pretty harsh. And don't tell him, the Rashba says, and even though I know what it says in Masechet Tamid, Lo Ama Aretz Chasid, I'm not an Ama Aretz. Even though I know what it says that did in the Beis HaMikdash, I don't want people to start thinking in their convoluted minds that Aseret HaDibrot is more important for the rest of the Torah because you could subsume the entire Torah under it. And therefore, don't say it every day in Shul. Rashba, don't say it every day in Shul. So the Shulchan Aruch comes along, and he has to codify the law. And he says, Tov Lomar, every day, Parshat HaAkedah, we just said that earlier, say the Akedah every day. Uparshat HaMan, say the Parshat HaMan, that was last week's Parsha, those that were awake in Shul, remember? Mana from heaven? Ve'aseret HaDibrot, says the Shulchan Aruch, Tov, good idea to say it. Now all the Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch know everything we just said. So there's a three-way machloket, how to understand the Shulchan Aruch. The Mishnah Berurah on the right side says, V'ana naktinan la'asor b'tzibur klal v'chlal. First of all, as Bruce said, don't do it publicly. It's not part of davening. If you want it, you do it privately. U'v'yachid afka shelo b'toch ha'tfilah. And do it privately, outside of davening. What does that mean?
Before after?
Before davening or after. Not during davening. You want to add in during davening anything else? Go right ahead. Parshat HaAkedah, add it in. Parshat HaTomid, add it in. Ezo Mekoman Shel Zvachim, add it in. Aseret HaDibrot, not part of davening. It's like today when they deal with the women's place in the synagogue, and every shul has to make some sort of a policy. You were dealing with it when I came in. And ultimately, one of the many solutions, quote-unquote, is that the woman who wants to speak a drasha in shul should do it when? After davening. Why after davening? What's the idea of after? If it's forbidden, it's forbidden. It's a permissible. So what's the difference? The answer they give, again, I'm not saying I agree with this, but this is what people say, is that if it's during davening, you may think that it's part of davening, and therefore the woman could be a chazan too. Okay. So now forget about the woman's issue. Let's talk about our issues. If you put Aseret HaDibrot during davening, says the Mishnah Berurah, you may think it's important, like Shema, and then you have all the issues we talked about, it's more important than the rest of the Torah. So Mishnah Berurah says, before or after davening, and by yourself. Absolutely not part of davening. Second point of view, the Ramah, Ramah's a little more lenient on this issue. He says, don't say it publicly, you could say it privately, but where can you say it? You could say it in the morning after Birchas HaShachar. You can print it in the Siddur. It's fine. Just don't say it publicly. The minute you say it publicly, we have an issue. Comes along the Maharshal. The Maharshal was not very happy with... Am I going till 10:30 today? You told me till 10:30. 10:20. Okay.
He lied to you.
He lied to me.
It's fake news.
Fake news. I never thought we'd say that around this table. The Maharshal was very, very disturbed by the Shulchan Aruch being printed. So it's not, for us, a big surprise that the Maharshal would be against the Shulchan Aruch. But halachically, when you deal with halacha, it's not personal. It's his point of view. The Maharshal says, Shuv ani noheg lomar aseret hadibrot kodem baruch shamar bekol ram. Ela shekvar bitalum bipnei tarumot aminim. Nira beinai davka likvar beberkat yotzer kemo kriyat shma. Aval lomar bechol boker lichvot ator lichvot Hashem anora shaseret hadvarim chakukim beluchot michta veloke mitzvah gdola laomra. Maharshal is far more liberal. And what does he say? Not only can you say it every day, but you could say it every day publicly, and you could say it in shul. Just don't say it as part of Birkot Kriyat Shema like they used to do in the Beis HaMikdash. That's it. So, as you can see here, there was a real acute, clear and present danger that if you say Aseret HaDibrot every day, people will think that it's more important than the rest of the Torah, and maybe the rest of the Torah doesn't exist or is fake. Comes along the Shulchan Aruch and says you could say it every day against the Rashba. But the Mefarshim say either say it before or after davening, or say it biyachid, Or the Marshal said you could say it Betzibur, no problem. Just don't say it as part of Birkos Kriyat Shema. But as you could see, there was an issue. Now we get to our issue. So we, if you say it every day, you say it every day, privately, publicly, can you stand in honor of the Aseret HaDibrot? Now, why do you stand in honor of the Aseret HaDibrot?
To mimic Sinai.
Well, we don't want to make it more important than the rest of the Torah, so that can't be the reason.
To mimic Sinai.
Perhaps all of laning is to mimic Sinai, so it's no surprise to us that this also mimics Sinai. So comes along the Rishut HaRambam, who deals with this issue. The Rambam wrote a response amongst his many books, and this is the most famous issue quoted, source quoted on this issue. Namely, the Rambam comes along and says, Baal Ezot Ha'ir Memuneh Mimuneh HaChad Ha'arim. One of the people from the outskirts of our city came and lived in our city. And you know what happens when someone from the outside comes in?
Different Menhagim.
He doesn't understand what Ashkenaz stands for. What does Ashkenaz stand for? Ein She'elot Kacha Nohagim Zeu. Don't ask questions. That's the Minah. Keep your mouth shut. That's it. But a guy comes in and says, hey, well, why are you doing this? And why are you doing that? How come you're davening after Zman Kriyat Shema? And you look at this guy and says, what, did you come here to make trouble? So exactly in the time of the Rambam, not in an Ashkenazic community probably, they asked him the question. A guy came and said, you should stand up. We want to mimic what happened at Har Sinai, and we want to stand up. And there was a big controversy in Shul. I can guess the controversy. Half the people said, who are you to start telling us to change things? What are you? Someone comes off the street. This guy thinks he knows better than us. We've been doing it this way all these years. We're going to continue. We don't stand for Aseret HaDibrot. The other half of people said, no, I'm going to answer him with lomdus. The Gemara was already worried about making Aseret HaDibrot more important than the rest of the Torah. And you are coming along and doing the same thing? What does the Rambam answer?
Do the Shuls have a custom of voting on an issue? Or
do they vote on halachic issues? I hope not. Turn the page.
Meaning a rabbi of the Shul would decide.
Comes along the Rambam. They ask the Rambam, what should we do? Maybe there wasn't no rabbi of the Shul. Maybe there was a rabbi of the Shul. We're going to the big posek, the Rambam, whatever he decides. Tshuva. Hatshuva bezeh. Asher inhiga rabba niftar liyashev hu ara'oi. The rabbi that passed away, now you understand why they asked the Rambam. Maybe the rabbi passed away, they couldn't get a new rabbi. He's correct. Why is the rabbi correct that you should not stand for Aseret HaDibrot? For all the reasons we said. That if you stand for Aseret HaDibrot, you're going to make people think that's more important than the rest of the Torah. If they think it's more important than the rest of the Torah, conclusion number two, the rest of the Torah maybe is made up. Conclusion number three, if it's made up, I don't have to keep it. We don't want to go there. Sit down for Aseret HaDibrot like you sit down for laning all year. Do not stand up for Aseret HaDibrot. And he even says, Shemin Hagam La'amod, Rutzarich Limon Am. And if they try to stand up, you tell them, sit down. This is the source on not standing for Aseret HaDibrot. Now, this is the Shuta Rambam. Now let's fast forward to the 20th century. And this is what I said earlier when I said that today, in my humble opinion, this is really not an issue anymore. Because today, we're in a new reality. So let's go to the 20th century and let's go to a very common rabbi, a rabbi that dealt with many of the 20th century issues. This is a small issue compared to the bigger issues he dealt with. Rav Moshe Feinstein, in a beautiful tshuva on Orach Chaim Chelek Daled, Seif Kafbet says, Hinei b'dvara midat ha'am b'sha'at Aseret HaDibrot. This is a question from his son, and he asks, can you stand up? So Rav Moshe knows all the sources we said. Aseret HaDibrot is toxic. You got to stay away from making it more important. On the right side of the page, he says like this, Ena terut she'evi melikutei maharich. I don't know who the maharich is. I'm assuming he's talking about a very, very famous rabbi that walked around and wrote about 30-something books. He was called the Baal Achida, Rav Chaim Yosef David Azulai. And he brings two reasons why you should and you can stand up if you feel like it. Number one, Michamat she'ikatam lamod lezecher v'yamdu b'rachok, shaita b'sha'a zo. Mitch's reason. Did the Jewish people stand or sit during Ma'amar Har Sinai? They stand, so we're mimicking Ma'amar Har Sinai. We're doing a make-believe. We're trying to feel what they felt. We're going to stand, look on the left side of the page, Rav Moshe brings this. Ein teruchi vetam likutei ma'arach, klum. Rav Moshe could say, it's garnished. Why? Don't you know that Aseret HaDibrot is toxic? So if you stand for them to mimic Har Sinai, that's exactly playing into the hands of what we said earlier. What did we say earlier? Now we're worried about those meaning. They're going to say, oh, this is the only thing that's important, the Ten Commandments. How many times do you ask people, what's the biblical Torah? The Ten Commandments. Narishkeit. That's exactly what they were worried about. So if you want to mimic Har Sinai, you're playing into the hands of those that will say that. Answer number two of the Chida. I think it's a Chida again. Answer number two. Listen, if you only read Aseret HaDibrot, and then everyone stood up, then you got a reason to believe it's the only thing that's important. But what do? We're going to start this week's Parshas Leaning from where? Vayishma Yitro. We're going to talk about Yitro, a guy, a non-Jew, comes along, tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to give you a secret. What's the secret? Delegation of
judges.
Authority. And we're going to read that, and then we're going to read what happened after Har Sinai, and then at Mincha we're going to continue. So we're not just reading Aseret HaDibrot. So since we're reading the whole Parsha, you're only standing for Aseret HaDibrot, and therefore because you're only standing for Aseret HaDibrot, it's okay because you're reading before and after. Says Rav Moshe on that second question, Umashikatov, what we just said, Utam Dachuk. What's Tam Dachuk? Okay, before he said Klum, what's Kam Dachuk? It's a very flimsy answer. Why? In the Beis HaMikdash, when they read Aseret HaDibrot, they wrote Aseret HaDibrot, Shema, Vayayim Shamoa, Vayomer. They read many parshas. And still they were worried. And if they were worried then, meaning at the time of the Gemara, they wanted to make it part of davening, right before you say Shema, then we have to be worried if we're reading the whole laning, because it's the same idea. They're going to say Shema afterwards. We're going to continue reading Parshat Yitro. For that reason, it's not a good reason. Reason number three. Back to the right side. Avamasha ata mitaretz mechamat shenagu la'amod gam b'shirat hayam b'parshat b'shalach u'b'shviyish shel Pesach. But what you, my son, have said, that listen, we don't just stand for Aseret HaDibrot. All year long we sit, and once a year we stand when we read Aseret HaDibrot. We also stand for other things, such as Shirat Hayam. Yeah. When do we read Shirat Hayam, Az Yashir? Twice a year. Parshat B'Shalach last week and the seventh day of Pesach, which is the last day of Pesach in Israel. So since we stand for other things, we stand for this, no one's going to think it's more important. Just like they don't think it's more important when we think for Az Yashir. We stand for various things during the year. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein on this. Hu terutz nachon. That's a good answer. And he goes into a big pilpul, and he starts saying why today it's not an issue. And he ends by saying, V'lachen bu'uvda zol shenagu la'amod be'kriya zol. And the fact that we stand to mimic Har Sinai, because that was the only time that we actually heard God speak to us, panim befanim, literally, face to face. We were at Har Sinai, God spoke at least its first two dibrot to us. And we stand for it. And it's a beautiful educational experience. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, Ein la'akfid b'shvil ze kol zban shelo yira haminim yitu et ha'amar ha'aretz la'markein. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, I'm living in the 20th century. As long as there's no meaning in the shul saying, this is the most important, the rest is not. You don't have to be worried to stand. First of all, we stand for other things. And number two is, we're standing for an educational experience to say we heard this from God directly. It wasn't a made-up story. And from generation to generation, people have said to their children, we stood at Mount Sinai. It's a good thing. We should continue it. Namely, everything we said until now is in the reality in which there are minim that might say Aseret HaDibrot is more important. It says Rav Moshe Feinstein, I'm reading into his words a bit. Gentlemen, who's coming to shul this Shabbos? Whoever's coming to shul this Shabbos believes in the Ten Commandments and in the 11th Commandment and in the 12th Commandment. Meaning, there aren't people coming to shul today that say, oh, only the Ten Commandments I hold by, the rest not. Namely, it's no longer an issue. So obviously we're not going to go against the Gemara and actually put it into davening, but as you could already see, the Shulchan Aruch said in private, you could say it. And Rav Moshe Feinstein, you could stand. We're not putting it into davening, but you could stand because there aren't minim around. And if you don't believe me, the one who says it explicitly, and I have to admit this was the first shiur I heard from what I consider one of the G'dolei Hador of this generation, Rav Asher Weiss Shlita. This was the first shiur I heard from him. And I was, as we say, I don't know how to say this nicely. Once I heard this shiur, I said, I found my shiur. It's like once in your lifetime you find a shiur. My two rabbeim, who I mamish miss so much, are no longer in this world. And I'm looking, and I heard this shiur. I said, this is it. When I need to hear a shiur, I put him on. He's on the internet. It's a mechaya. Rav Asher Weiss, a lamdan atzum, a Kloisenberger chassid. He knows Yiddish and English and Hebrew. And he's a very, very, very independent thinker. And I believe he's one of the G'dolei Hador of Asher Weiss on his website. I'm quoting from his website because this is the shiur he gave that they write out. He says explicitly these words.
Is that not in English also?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Namely, if you look at the Gemara, they were only worried about saying it every day as part of Kriyat Shema. They were never worried about standing. Mm-hmm. Argument number one. Argument number two, he continues to say, and Rav Asher Weiss says number two, there's a Yerushalmi in Masechet Megillah saying that in times of the Gemara, what would they do? The first guy got an Aliyah, Baruch Hu Hashem Avarach, and they read the whole laning, and the last guy said the final bracha. So they could have had seven Aliyahs, but he didn't say the brachos in between. Says Rav Asher Weiss, there were a few exceptions to that rule. One of them was Aseret HaDibrot. In other words, they would read the whole parsha, say, B'shalach. They would read, ask the Kohen to come up, he'd get an Aliyah, Baruch Hu Hashem Barach, he would say the first bracha, then they would call a Levi, Yisrael, and then would call a few more Aliyahs. The last guy that got an Aliyah said the final bracha. What's the exception to the rule? Aseret HaDibrot, they would play a bracha before and after. It says Rav Asher Weiss, didn't you just make Aseret HaDibrot more important? Answer, we don't worry about it during Kriyas HaTorah. We only worry about making it more important if you make it part of davening. Thank you, Mitch. But if you make it part of laning, you can do what you want. Times of the Gemara, times of Chazah, they made it more important by making a separate Aliyah for Aseret HaDibrot. And he ends by saying, says Rav Asher Weiss, says Rav Asher Weiss, everything we just said, if you want to be machmir, is only during davening. It's not during Kriyas HaTorah. In this shiur that I heard from him, he continued by saying, but today, those that come to shul believe in the whole Torah. And those that don't come to shul, believe me, don't even believe in Aseret HaDibrot. And therefore, this entire shiur, from beginning to end, was very important at a time when people theologically thought Aseret HaDibrot different. But today we're not in that situation. If they're coming to lane and shul and they're hearing the laning, they believe in the whole Torah. They may not fulfill the whole Torah, but they say either there is a Torah and I decided not to fulfill it, or there's no Torah. They don't say there's only Aseret HaDibrot. Exactly saying Rav Moshe Feinstein's words, Kol zman shelo yirah shehaminim yitu et ha'amei ha'aretz lomar kein. As long as you don't have someone in shul, that's an ignoramus. Ignoramus is in shul that will be told by someone that looks intellectual that Aseret HaDibrot is more important. I always read this line and I think to myself, when Americans sit around and someone English from England talks, he looks intellectual because his accent is so much nicer. So imagine the situation. You're sitting around a bunch of Americans and the guy with the English accent pipes up and says, you know, the Ten Commandments are important, the rest is not. And he says it in a beautiful English accent, then, ooh, we got a problem. But as long as you don't have that in shul, there's no problem. And therefore, Rav Moshe Feinstein ends, and I quote this, and this is very important.
We have daddy.
Lachen yirah she'en lishanot min haminhag. Therefore, you don't change the minhag. And if a person doesn't want anything to do with this, he wants to stand, like the Rambam says, I don't want to stand up for Aseret HaDibros. What does Rav Moshe Feinstein say? Not to sit down, but rather. You ready? You want to be machmir? Stand for the whole Torah relating. From beginning to end. If you want to be machmir, you don't like the fact that I just said that there's no minim around and whatnot, no problem. Just stand for the entire Torah reading. Then you'll show there's no more, this aliyah is no more important than Aseret HaDibrot aliyah. Rav Moshe Feinstein could have said, oh, the holy Rambam, you could be somek, the whole shul stands and you sit. Why didn't he say that? Why didn't he say that?
Stand up early.
You can stand the whole laning. But he does not say, sit down. When everyone's standing. Why? First of all, it's an open Gemara. Lo ye omed, lo ye yoshev ben ha'omdim, lo ye omed ben ha'yoshvim. So if you go to a Sephardic shul and they all sit down for Baruch Hu, you also sit down. Right? Two. Why did Rav Moshe Feinstein do that? Because Rav Moshe Feinstein, those that knew him told me he was the nicest, sweetest person. He was short. He couldn't pronounce a shin because he's a litvak. Every shin became a sin. A guten Sabbath. Number three, Rav Moshe Feinstein, like an Ashkenazic posik says, it's a minhag. The Jewish people do it. It's for good reasons to mimic our Sinai. I'm going to go ahead and stop them for no real reason. It's a good minhag. Let him do it. If there's a halachic reason to stop him, I will. I'm Rav Moshe Feinstein. I could do that. I have the power. But if there's no real halachic reason, let them continue with their minhag. It's fine. Nothing's wrong with it. Just because you don't like it doesn't mean it's wrong. And if you don't personally like what I just said, then stand for the whole Torah reading. Stand for the whole Torah reading. Don't reprimand them. Stand for the whole Torah reading. Now, how much different is Rav Moshe Feinstein for people today? I was once in a place, and I'm not going to deal with this now, but I think this is a halachic problem in hotels. You go to a hotel for Shabbos, where should you light your candles? There's a machlokas where you should light your candles. Makom pita, makom lina. Where you eat or where you sleep. That's on the assumption of both belong to you. In a hotel, what's your room? Your hotel room. Where you eat, everyone's eating together. There's no special place for you. Therefore, you should probably light candles in your room. But you can't light candles in your room because it's a fire hazard. Sakanta Chamira Miyisura. It's a fire hazard, and the hotels don't allow it. So what do? They set it up where? Not in the dining hall, not in the room, in the middle of nowhere. Now, I believe that's a halachic problem. It's not the time now to deal with it. But that's what's done. Now, if Moshe Feinstein, if he would be in that situation, and I'm saying he would feel the same way, do you think he would go up to people like I've seen and say, everyone that's making a bracha, it's a bracha levatala, and walk away? No. And you could see it from this tshuva. There's something that you look at and it's a little peculiar, it's a little off, it's a little, as we say in Yiddish, far-fetched. Then, what do? Go home, drink a little water, then drink another cup of water, then think about it, and then respond. Don't respond off the cuff on things that have been done. Rav Moshe Feinstein grew up in Russia, came to America, he probably went to endless shuls, and they stood up for Aseret HaDibros. And he knows the Gemara, he knows what they said about Aseret HaDibrot and why it's different from the rest of the Torah. But he didn't shoot from the hip. What did he do? He dealt with it. So today I have to say, and I sum up with this, we dealt with the halachic reality, and we saw the Gemaras. The real reality today seems to push us in the direction that everything we said, it's perhaps not relevant as much today. Yes?
No, you're sure.
Okay, well you said like,